This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. The White House's indirect talks between Israel and Hamas will begin in Egypt tomorrow after Hamas agreed to President Trump's terms that would lead to the release of hostages, and the IDF has stopped offensive fighting in Gaza. But many issues still outstanding, including starvation in Gaza. Antoine Renard with the World Food Program there says,
I think that the most important for the humanitarian is now that all the corridors, all the crossings will be allowing us to reach people in a proper manner.
Republican senators holding a retreat this weekend in Georgia, but the government shutdown continues. Republicans say they won't talk until Democrats vote to end the shutdown. Democrats say they're trying to stop cuts to Medicaid. The Justice Department called the 8-year prison sentence for the person who plotted to kill Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh woefully insufficient, says it will appeal. And attorneys for Sean Combs say they'll appeal his 50-month sentence on two prostitution-related convictions. This is ABC News. The WNBA Finals opened last night as the Vegas Aces beat the Phoenix Mercury by 3 to win game 1 of the best of 7, but the league's commissioner has been facing criticism brought to a head by Minnesota star Nafisa Collier. ABC's Ike Ajachi has more on the firestorm surrounding Kathy Engelbert.
The Minnesota Lynx player didn't hold back at her end-of-season press conference, describing the league's leadership as the worst in the world. Players across the league rallied behind Collier, calling for accountability and change, also pointing to other persistent issues like uneven pay and player marketing. Now, Engelbert responding, acknowledging there is work to be done.
We value feedback. We listen to criticism.
Engelbert saying that the league and players' union are meeting next week to discuss a new collective bargaining agreement.
Arthur Jones, a former NFL player, the older brother of UFC star John Jones, has died. He was 39 years old. I'm Brian Clark, ABC News.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Derek Van Orden, over on our Facebook page, jumped into our comment section. Derek Van Orden can get as snooty as he wants with reporters. He can get as confrontational in comment sections. He can use all the cuss words that he wants. And he said 18 U.S. Code subsection 2331. Look it up. Well, we did. It doesn't cover social media posts that make a congressman get his fee-fees all hurt.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
You're listening to 1490 WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matinee on Air, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
For Civic Media News, I'm Shali Pittman. Monarch butterflies are in their long migration from the northern U.S. to Mexico for the winter. Judith Ruiz Branch of the Public News Service has more.
The journey takes about 2.5 months, with the arrival of the monarchs coinciding with a significant cultural holiday in Mexico known as Día de los Muertos that honors past loved ones. Entomology professor Karen Oberhauser with the University of Wisconsin-Madison says the celebration likely predates awareness of monarch migration, but the serendipitous timing creates a meaningful connection.
Out of this chrysalis that looks kind of dead, this beautiful butterfly breaks free of the bonds of the earth and flies. So you can see why a lot of cultures see this as synonymous with rebirth, this whole process of metamorphosis.
Oberhauser says monarchs fly during the day and roost at night. The migration is tracked through citizen sightings, with roosts sometimes containing hundreds or thousands of butterflies. People can aid monarchs' migration by creating habitats of milkweed and nectar sources where the butterflies can stop along the way. Only those known as super generation monarchs, which live significantly longer than non-migrating monarchs, make the thousands mile journey to the mountains of Mexico. Oberhauser says they weigh about the same as a paperclip, so mortality is to be expected. She explains exact figures of migration survival are difficult to measure. Oberhauser notes monarchs primarily use day length rather than temperature as migration cues, though climate change can affect migration conditions, with hot and dry temperatures being particularly detrimental. For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
For Civic Media News, I'm Sholly Pittman. More news anytime at civicmedia.us.
You're listening to 1490 WLCX, La Crosse's home for the Todd Allball Show, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Sunny and well above normal today. Highs near 90 degrees. Strong south winds. Tonight, clear and breezy, 66. Sunny and breezy for Sunday with a high around 84. Showers and thunderstorms are likely Sunday night with a low around 54 degrees.
Currently, 75 degrees.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome the Mulva Cultural Center's Katie Compton, then filmmaker and founder of Chair on Stair Films, Derek Pfister, joins the show. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
What is up, Wisconsin? This is Raised in Wisco. I'm your host, Joel Clayfish. Sitting alongside of me, the duck shooting, goose grinding, sturgeon spearing, Danielle Fairman. No, not sturgeon. Yeah,
Have you gone
sturgeon spearing yet?
I have
yet?
Not.
That is
yet
exciting.
Yes, is a key word in that.
I'm sure yet. You will. I think you will. Danielle Fairman and I have been together for decades.
Sure
hunting,
have.
Fishing, the outdoors of Wisconsin, and eating everything we can get our hands on from the field, forest, or forage, which is fantastic. Absolutely love doing that. To me, everything's about food, and that is why we have the culinary creativity of master blaster chef Ellie Lawton, the official chef of Raised in Wisco. Chef Lawton.
Master Blaster.
Well, I don't even know what that means. Isn't I think
you know
that
what
was
I want in my house
a
is a blast
gun.
Chiller.
What's a blast chiller?
You put stuff in and it freezes like instantly.
What?
Yeah, like trays of meat or anything. Put it in there and like 30 minutes later, it's frozen solid. Blast chiller.
Wow, that I'm blown away that in the state of Wisconsin, with our Green Bay Packer fans and football fans and everything else, that people don't get those just to cool off beer for parties.
Speaking of Green Bay Packers, how in the world are we ending in a tie now? The Cowboys, they went into overtime for 10 minutes. East Side got the ball, and now there's a tie? I thought ties were not allowed anymore.
Football.
That's new now.
Is it?
No.
I don't know. Well, hey,
Josh
let's go.
The last
why don't we
give
him the blast chiller?
Behind the fishbowl seems to know the answer
how,
to this.
How can we have ties? That does not make sense to me. What number?
She's
gets,
hitting the
who
table,
gets the
Jacob.
Score?
David.
It's always been that at the end of overtime, if it's still a tie, it's a tie.
That's baloney.
I'm sorry. Ooh, that's baloney. Just how it goes. I mean,
well,
it,
you know what they say. A tie is like kissing your sister.
As a Bears fan, I have to say, if you're not good enough to win the game, sometimes there's ties. These things happen. We beat the Raiders this week, so things are cool, I think.
Well, now, when
we're
you
cool
say
like
we,
a blast
who are you
chiller.
Talking
the
about?
Bears.
We.
Me and my Bears, Joel.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Can
Jacob,
somebody
it's
please
okay.
inform Jacob that the name
safety,
of the show
the
is Raised in Wisco?
Did you say I'm going to back up safely?
No, I'm the backup safety. That's why I can say we. So,
well, you know what? You might as well be for this Bears team this year because the Bears still...
We're going to see, Joel. We're going to see.
Well, we shall. All I got to say is much love to the green and gold.
Yeah.
Do you guys get that? Jordan Love. You know.
Yes.
Listen, Brett Favre was 27 years old when he won the Super Bowl. Aaron Rodgers was 27 years old, and Jordan Love will be 27 this season. Yes. So
it's a sign.
I think it's.
Sign. Well, yes. We should all stop what we're doing until then.
No.
Please hold.
Please, let's not. It's hunting season. We're not stopping
yes,
what we're doing.
Happy October.
Amen to that.
I'm pretty excited.
Happy best month of the year.
Yeah, it is. November is
October.
No shave November.
What?
I was going to say November is no shave November because our gun deer season is that.
So you guys have to stay warm?
But really, the hunting is the strongest and most amazing during October, yeah. I feel like.
Yes.
I think that that's
the weather's
truth.
Really changing. The critters are
is
getting
it
very
though?
Active.
It is hot.
It is hot. Whoa, it's too hot. It has been
but you
way
know what?
Too hot.
I'm going to take it.
Chicken butt.
I'm going to take it because in about 2 months, we're all going to be sitting here complaining that it's so cold.
No, I love the cold.
Yeah, maybe you do.
Yeah, you know what? I don't mind the cold either.
I don't.
But you are correct.
I'll take
that
the
happens
heat.
Every single year. We complain that it's too hot.
Always want what you can't
and
handle.
Then we complain that it's too cold. However, I'm really excited because I think October is the greatest month. I think that's when the deer, the whitetails rut the best.
Mm-hmm,
I
yes.
feel like this is when duck season, well, I don't feel like it is when duck season opens.
Yeah.
And it is also
duck openers today.
The duck opener
yes.
today, which
yes.
is very, very exciting.
Yes, it is.
And what's so extremely exciting about that is we have a man whose hand is on the pulse of waterfowl, and I'm really excited about it. The Wisconsin Waterfowl Association, which is a local and statewide organization that really promotes waterfowl hunting in Wisconsin, mm-hmm. has a brand new executive director. Now, I'm not going to say whether I was asked if I thought he'd be a great guy or not before yeah. he got the job.
Ooh.
But
now
I am
why.
Glad to say that he got the job. Brad Heidel is the new executive director of the Wisconsin Waterfowl Association, and he joins us today.
Yay,
and we're going to talk
Brad.
About waterfowl, and we're going to talk about the migration. We're going to talk about sandhill cranes.
But
Brad,
first,
I mean, you just started in this role, and we're putting on the hot seat right away.
Absolutely. And I'm really excited to be part of Wisconsin Waterfowl Association. You know, there's so much to do here in Wisconsin, and we have so many opportunities for waterfowl hunters. We're just going to take that to the next level.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really
like
think you will. Brad has extensive history with waterfowl organizations, including Delta Waterfowl in the past. And I got to tell you what's kind of crazy. I met Brad years ago with his involvement with in the waterfowl industry. And when the Fowl Life came here to Wisconsin to shoot for the national television show that airs on the Outdoor Channel, The Fowl Life, we actually stayed with Brad hunted turkeys. This was before he was ever hired by WWA. And in full disclosure, I want to let folks know I do government affairs work for the Wisconsin Waterfowl Association. And that was before Brad was hired. So now the tables have turned and Brad's essentially my boss in one aspect of my life. I think I just realized. That should I be nervous?
Yes,
maybe.
Yeah, Brad, make him maybe work as hard as he makes us work.
Oh, come on now! I don't even know what that means.
Do you know what I just realized, Ellie? What? We're outnumbered.
What?
This is the first time,
hey, Danielle.
We are outnumbered.
I'm going to just announce right now that we're going to be clicking it up. If you're not, just and hey, I don't mean click language, click click. I mean like clicking it up, like turn it up, girl.
Hello, click,
she
click.
Is referring to the fact that we have had conversations about hunting in South Africa and the Xhosa tribe,
and I
having a click language.
Also, talk.
She said, "Cheers
click.
To them, click click." Brad Heidel is in the studio, and while he's here, we're going to get our weekly Wiscos, and I've got Noah Morris,
yay,
who
no,
is
Noah
our field
is
producer
here.
When we're in the Fishbowl in Concord, Wisconsin at WFSH, joined us. He wanted to meet Jacob in the old school Fishbowl here in Racine Studios. So we're going to get weekly Wiscos from around the horn today. So get
ooh.
Your ideas ready for what you may have done. You've heard Jacob and Noah on the air with us before, but I'm going to start today with Danielle. Danielle,
ooh.
What's your weekly Wisco? What do you got?
Danielle. Okay, imagine this. You're at a crowded boat launch with multiple boats coming in
and
multiple trucks coming
out. High pressure situation.
High pressure situation. And at the end, there's a dam. So you already have that flow coming out.
Yeah.
And then a truck backs up with a brand new boater aboard in her brand new boat.
That's that would be you.
That is me. Okay. And I walk out there, arms up. Everybody, I'm brand new. Patience.
So wait a minute. You're backing your boat in, and there's a line of people trying to get in after you're done.
Correct. And but
did that make you extra nervous?
No, I'm with work. I'm used to people watching me all the time, so I can easily focus people out, tune people out, just like I do with people's conversations as well.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. What did you say?
Exactly. And so people just started laughing. And the best part about it is, at least four people asked if I wanted help, and the amount of people helping me and patience and just the greatness of all of it being
brand
new.
Were you out there solo?
I was out there with Josh, but it was it was still, I'm like, let me figure this out by myself. I cannot have somebody tell me how to do something. I need to do it myself.
And well, we know
I
that,
need
Danielle.
I need to fail. Failures are only
you don't
blessings
know success.
And
they're, yeah, you they're don't only, know success unless you've ever
failed.
Yeah,
they're only teaching lessons.
You don't know a sunny day unless you stood out in the rain.
So I get out of there. I back my boat up, but I did not realize that my motor, you have to hold it up in reverse, and I'm trying to push it back there, and it was a whole situation, and people had to get out and just push my boat out, and everyone was clapping. It was the best first experience I could absolutely
wish for. Oh, so you're saying
for.
It was enjoyable.
Oh, yeah,
it was
great.
Because
I was
Danielle's
laughing.
Weekly Wiscos, they can go south in a
they
hurry.
They can go south. I'm full of all the things.
They go sideways a lot.
I got out there, and I found the perfect hunting spot.
Nice.
Wow.
And the blind, I ordered...
Well, do you think it'll be empty when you go there opening day is the question.
It wasn't. Doesn't matter. There's more. There's going to be more out there. There's plenty of open water for everybody. So.
That's true. Mm-hmm. That's
I am
true.
Not worried about that whatsoever. I
How exciting.
So thrilled to have a boat for opener.
That's pretty darn exciting, yes. Danielle. I think that's a great weekly Wisco that we'll get to hear about next week, I hope. Jacob, what do you got?
Like Wisco wise, we're talking.
Well, I don't know. We've made our weekly Wiscos have been over
well,
the borders
we're not
before.
Talking about
so.
The Bears,
and I just want to remind people that we appreciate you listening on all Civic Media radio stations throughout Wisconsin, and now we have moved into Minnesota and Michigan. So I guess we can have our weekly Wisco be, you know, neighboring ish states too. It only makes sense to me.
I do not have a weekly Minnow or Micho. I'm going to stick with Wisco this week,
Perfect.
Joel.
Perfect. Let's hear it.
And for me, my nature activities involve, again, walking during my breaks at work, down the street at a park. And all year long, I've been watching these geese grow up.
Aww.
And now they're big, beautiful, happy adult geese, and they're getting ready to leave for the winter. And I feel like Tony Soprano watching his ducks fly away, and I'm starting to get emotional. I'm like, I love these geese. These are my geese, and they're going to fly away.
All right. Well, I appreciate that weekly Wisco very much.
I think I'm going to change mine really quickly.
I appreciate that weekly Wisco so much that I'd like to see if you can tell me when you watch them if any of them have bands on and where they go to feed.
And if you can get permission.
And if you think we can get permission on that. Is that dark? That's dark. Chef Lawton, what's your weekly Wisco?
Well, mine was going to be talking about an awesome goose hunt I had. So the second half of it is after this wonderful goose hunt. Sorry, Jacob. They were not your geese. I checked.
This is the last time I open up around you people.
Yeah.
Aww.
Yeah. Sorry
Jacob.
About that. Well, after that, I was super hungry. I pulled out my phone, searched some restaurants, found this awesome cafe in East Troy called Excellent Cafe. They serve breakfast and lunch, and I had a fantastic breakfast there. So good. I'm going to go back like every week.
That sounds fantastic.
Yeah, the owner makes everything from scratch in the kitchen. He does it up. His wife runs the front of the house. It was amazing.
Ah, nice. That sounds... I love every weekly Wisco that has to do with food. Mine, I'm going to squeeze it in before the break. Then we'll get to Noah, and we're going to get to Brad Heidel, the new executive director of the Wisconsin Waterfowl Association. My weekly Wisco is the migration is finally here.
Yay!
We have struggled early waterfowl season in Wisconsin, and despite the heat, those calendar birds know the days are getting shorter, so they're flapping their wings and making their way through Wisconsin. And right now, the waterfowl hunting in Wisconsin is absolutely phenomenal. Now, I want you to make sure to listen.
Eagle 1490 AM.
Timeout.
Oh, right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Today's job market is full of demand for skilled trade workers. Electricians, welders, mechanics, these and other trades are the backbone of every community. They're also a huge part in making sure the Army National Guard is always fulfilling its mission of service to our country and communities. Soldiers train to keep the power flowing, engines running, and supplies moving. The skilled trades these soldiers perform are the same ones needed in today's civilian workforce. Army National Guard soldiers are on the fast track to learning skills that can set them up for success at home with companies looking to hire the best. With options from plumber to helicopter mechanic and everything in between, soldiers are able to select the trades that best fit their lives. Their resumes are being built through their paid training and part-time service. Find out how you too can learn a trade profession and serve your community and country by visiting NationalGuard.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
My name's John Driscoll, proud member of the Patriotic Millionaires. When I was CEO at CareCentrics, I doubled entry-level wages. The impact? Productivity went up, turnover went down, and the company was successful. When employees are off the clock, they're real consumers, the consumers that drive the economy with their spending. By paying employees a fair wage, we're actually helping out all of us in giving our economy the best chance to succeed. I'm John Driscoll, I'm a Patriotic Millionaire, and I approve this message.
Small businesses are the heart of America. As the nation's largest nonprofit resource of expert business mentoring, SCORE has helped millions of entrepreneurs build their businesses. For free, find a mentor today at score.org.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Nobody knows how to live La Vida Loca, the crazy life, like the crew here at Raised in Wisco. My name's Joel Clayfish. Alongside me is the co-hostess with the mostest, who likes to eat hostess from time to time, I imagine.
This is true. Yeah,
Danielle Fairman and award-winning culinarian, the chefferie of the show, Raised in Wisco's official chef, Ellie Lawton. And today, we've got a very special guest with us today, the new executive director of the Wisconsin Waterfowl Association, Brad Heidel, and we're going to do weekly Wiscos. We're going to continue those because I haven't heard. We've got Noah in the studio Brad Heidel.
Noah.
So, Noah, you get yours ready. Belly up to Chef Lawton's mic there because we're going to get you after Brad. Brad Heidel, what's your weekly Wisco?
Well, I've got two.
Oh.
The first is we've got opening days last weekend in the north for waterfowl. We got opening day today here in the south for waterfowl. Pretty big deal for me. But one of my favorites is last Friday, I got to spend the day with all the new conservation warden recruits. And they were just finishing up their duck school in Trempealeau. And so Duck school. They were learning everything they needed to know about ducks, waterfowlers, identification, you know it. They spent the whole week there. And on Friday, we spent the whole day going through different scenarios with these 12 different recruits on what they might find in the field as it pertains to waterfowl hunters. So pretty cool group of young folks coming in. Huh. And there were a couple old ones as well. And
what is old for you?
I'm going to say that they, you know, I expected them all to be young recruits.
Yeah.
And some of the new recruits were probably in their 40s, mid to late 40s.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not there
Here's
yet.
Here's my question.
I'm not old yet. This is very great. I'm happy.
No, you're Danielle, forever young. You're like the band Menudo in Mexico. You're forever young. They Thank keep you. Replacing the members. I don't know. That's what they call themselves, a forever young group. My question about that, though, is when you see these recruits coming in, I'm sure they're starting out with this attitude of, we're here to kind of assist hunters. We're here to aid in everything, you know, that goes on in the field and make Wisconsin a better place to hunt and fish. Now, I know not all hunters think that of the warden staff, you know, because they may have had a bad experience. But what did you think seeing the new recruits in here who are actually learning bird identification and things like that? These are things they have to go out and have a basic understanding of state statute in order to enforce the laws. Did they seem like that they were a group of kind of willing participants hoping to help those in the outdoors use it as best they can, or did they seem like a bunch of hard asses who are really gonna bear down on us?
I would say absolutely not on the hard ass side. You know, they came in with polite attitudes. They treated your gear with respect, and in my certain situation, I shot a grebe. And so that was part of the scenario. I actually didn't do that. The gals are looking at me like, what? And I'm like, I actually didn't shoot one, but it was set up as such. And
I didn't know that was an option, Brad.
We're saying this on air. Let's go. Must be legal.
I thought it was a hen coot, young hen coot, but apparently it was a grebe.
That's what they all say.
Yep. Yeah, and you know what? I was able, out of the 8 different scenarios that I went through in the day, I talked my way out of 5 citations and got 3.
What?
Yes.
These are the things you put them through?
Well, yes. They do these exercises, you know, as if they're in the field and stuff like that. I think it's a great idea. I really do.
It's a fantastic idea.
And that facility at Trempealeau is beautiful. I wish they'd host hunters up there for Duck University and training and stuff. That'd be cool.
Yeah, and bird identification is one of the tough ones. We're going to get to talking with Brad about that. Noah Morris, what was your weekly Wisco?
So me and my wife spent most of Saturday outside at, it's called Emmy's Rustic Run out of Fort Atkinson.
Okay.
It's a 5K that raises money to support AT, which is a really bad disease that their daughter has. So it's a great community thing. Like, everybody in Fort knows about it, and it was just cool to be a part of it.
That's and nice. Why for $1 million does it not surprise me on earth that you did something that was kind and helpful to humanity, Noah?
Well, thanks.
You are a shining example of what a human being should be and how the human spirit should be portrayed in this world. And I want you to know that. And I don't say that lightly, and I mean it very sincerely.
Oh, it's all so, God.
Well,
I'll say that.
Well, God bless you for what you do, Noah. I am excited because I want to talk to Brad about several things. We're going to get into the Sandhill Crane debate and the Sandhill Crane, the potential for it to become a huntable species in Wisconsin and be a game species. First thing I want to talk about is kind of the difficulty of bird identification. How much, you know, and in 2 minutes, basically, start telling me
how much do you think the birds
need to know before they get out there and hunt ducks now that duck season starts today?
MR ducks.
You know, I think they have to have a basic knowledge of the different species of waterfowl. And hopefully they're hunting with someone who's mentoring them down the way. And they're able to, you know, ask them questions, or those folks who are sitting in the blind with them are able to say, okay, now that's a wood duck. That's not a teal, or, you know, that's a mallard. It's not a scop, whatever it is, they've got a mentor. They're helping them out. I think that a young new hunter will see some leniency if they ever have an episode with a warden, for that matter. They'll give them some leniency on it. But you do have to be knowledgeable about your species, your duck species. We could talk about the whole new possible rule that's coming down the play, which is a three splash rule. Three splash rule.
Well, I can't wait to hear about that. And we're definitely going to hear about that. And I want to talk about the fact that I really don't hunt teal in the early teal season because they look so much like hen wood ducks. And I want to be sure of what I'm shooting. I can't wait to talk about food. We're going to talk about your wild game day favorites too with Chef Lawton. This is Raised in Wisco.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matinee on Air.
1490, WLCX, real news and great conversation for La Crosse and home for the Todd Hallball Show, Monday through Friday from 2 to 4.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. The White House's indirect talks between Israel and Hamas will begin in Egypt tomorrow after Hamas agreed to President Trump's terms that would lead to the release of hostages, and the IDF has stopped offensive fighting in Gaza. But many issues still outstanding, including starvation in Gaza. Antoine Renard with the World Food Program there says,
I think that the most important for the humanitarian is now that all the corridors, all the crossings will be allowing us to reach people in a proper manner.
Republican senators holding a retreat this weekend in Georgia, but the government shutdown continues. Republicans say they won't talk until Democrats vote to end the shutdown. Democrats say they're trying to stop cuts to Medicaid. The Justice Department called the 8-year prison sentence for the person who plotted to kill Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh woefully insufficient, says it will appeal. And attorneys for Sean Combs say they'll appeal his 50-month sentence on two prostitution-related convictions. This is ABC News.
The Brewers postseason is underway. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports Baseball. It's the Brewers and the Cubs today. Here at American Family Field, a sellout crowd, the first in the best of five-game divisional series. Brewers manager Pat Murphy confirmed that right-handed pitcher Brandon Woodruff, who came back this summer after missing the past 2 years following shoulder surgery, will not pitch this week.
It has nothing to do with his shoulder health. His shoulder's 100% healthy. It's on its way. He's proven that when he's pitched. Now he has an injury. He has a lat injury, and that lat injury, much like a hamstring, has to be treated as such. So he's not going to pitch in this series.
So how do you deal with a lat injury? Brandon Woodruff.
Like I've been told, it's like a hamstring. You get 99%, you feel great. It's that last 1% that can really affect you. So you really just have to make sure it's 100%. When it's 100%, I don't know. I'm trying every day to get to that point as quick as I can.
That's Brewers pitcher Brandon Woodruff with Sports on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Peaky Blinders is the gift that keeps on giving to its loyal fans. Netflix and the BBC have announced that the popular show about the Shelby crime gang is getting a 2-season sequel, according to Screen Rant. The period drama, created by Stephen Knight, will have 6 episodes in each season that will air on BBC One in the UK and Netflix worldwide. The new seasons will pick up after the Peaky Blinders movie, also written by Knight, called The Immortal Man. There is no release date yet for the film, which stars Cillian Murphy, Stephen Graham, and Rebecca Ferguson. There were rumors that the movie would be the end of the franchise, but that no longer appears to be the case. Knight says that the show will follow a new generation of Shelbys in the sequel. The Immortal Man will act as a bridge between the original show, which ran for 6 seasons, and the new iteration. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 1490 WLCX, La Crosse's home for the Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Sunny and well above normal today. Highs near 90 degrees. Strong south winds. Tonight, clear and breezy, 66. Sunny and breezy for Sunday with a high around 84. Showers and thunderstorms are likely Sunday night with a low around 54 degrees.
It's 76 at our studios.
This is Robert Pilot, host of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we talk about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. You'll also hear from Turtle Island voices like Arvina Martin, State Representative Heather Keeler, Ruth Anna Buffalo, Dr. Anthony Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Actor, writer, and my son, Joe Schwabba. Do you have a favorite one-hit wonder song, Joe?
I don't know. That's not great radio.
30
I'm
seconds.
Giving you right
what,
now.
But, what about What Does the Fox Say? We grew up kind of in the same era, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, what is the Fox Say? Or Gundam Style?
Oh, those are terrible.
That's another one. Oh, whatever.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. We'll review the Badgers game at Michigan and also the Brewers taking on the Cubs over the weekend. Where are we at in the NLDS? Jane Matinera, Matinera on Air, will join us and talk a little news as well.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Raised in Wisco is your one-stop shop for everything in the great outdoors of the great state of Wisconsin. My name is Joel Clayfish. We are now on 25 stations statewide. Woo! Danielle Fairman, my co-host Hello. Here, been with me for decades in the great outdoors of Wisconsin. Raised in Wisco is growing.
We are
hearing more from you about the show.
We are growing.
And we are growing on a regular basis because Chef Lawton, the official chef of Raised in Wisco,
yes,
has always got something to
got our winter weight on.
I have my winter weight.
Mine came about
mine's
on
in
July.
The middle of the
yeah,
summer.
Like in the spring.
I think that that's a problem. Danielle, you can listen. You, Chef Lawton, and
sure
everybody
do.
Throughout the state and parts of Minnesota and Michigan can listen to Raised in Wisco live on Saturdays at 11 o'clock on your Civic Media stations. But if they miss it, Danielle Fairman, where can they hear it?
If you miss it, you can listen to us on Spotify and Apple, and be sure to make us your preset so all you get notified right away when our episodes get posted. You can tell your speaker to say, play Civic Media Raised in Wisco. You can also follow us on YouTube and Facebook.
Yeah. And you know what? Be active on Facebook. Our Facebook czar,
yes.
Megan Salad Bar Salazar, posts there. And we get your comments. When you message Raised in Wisco's Facebook, we will talk about it on the air. And we appreciate all the interaction and really appreciate those of you mentioning to us that you love the show and you have fun. We have fun here. We want to take you along on the journey of what is fantastic in Wisconsin and what to eat in Wisconsin. We're getting to that. We're going to even start that this segment. I'm excited. We're going to do lots about food today because just food's
that's every
awesome.
Episode.
I know. Whoa, slow down, Danielle. It is true. But first, we got some great things to talk about. We have the brand new, newly hired executive director of the Wisconsin Waterfowl Association, Brad Heidel, who was talking to us about duck hunting and a new aspect,
splash?
The three splash rule, which I've never
like three
heard
ducks?
Of. Talk to me what the heck the three splash rule is, Brad.
We can do that, but are we going to talk about the ribeye of the sky?
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
I have so many questions for you.
Well, I'll do my best. So when we're talking about the three splash rule, the state of Nebraska and the state of South Dakota, I think we're going into year four of this experiment with those two states, and they have a two-tiered license system. So one is your regular waterfowl license that anybody can buy, and they can shoot their six ducks a day based upon the species and how many per species, et cetera, right? But to help out new waterfowl hunters and to try to get new waterfowl hunters in the field, they have a second tier system, which is a three splash rule. So you can shoot three ducks of any species, and then you're done. So you don't have to be as specific as to what type of duck you're shooting at or trying to harvest.
And this is only with your first tag purchase or permit purchase?
No, you can. They have it going
it's
where you can
the
continue
board.
On. You can do it every year if you want.
Wow.
It's my understanding. Mm-hmm.
Do you have to choose?
You do have to choose.
Do you choose at the beginning of the season or do you choose? Okay, so at the beginning of the season, you're electing your license. You can choose to have three splashes and you do not literally don't have, I mean, you can't shoot a grebe, that's federally protected, but you can choose to, you can shoot any three species of duck that come into your spread. You don't have to worry as much about what type of duck it is. I think this is fantastic.
Yeah, that's the case. And so it's really all about trying to get new hunters out there who might be nervous about the types of ducks that they're shooting.
Yeah,
just like
Joel
said.
This is not in place yet in Wisconsin.
It is not. It's only South Dakota and Nebraska currently.
Well, I think that, hey, guys know anybody who talks to legislators and have any bill ideas?
I know of someone.
I really like that. I think that's fantastic. Yeah. Well, that's in the future. Right now, in Wisconsin, we are in the very middle of the legislative session. And like I said, for full disclosure, I work for the Wisconsin Waterfowl Association in government affairs. And we are working on a sandhill crane hunting season. And Brad, you have done so much research on it. You know, the science is really there right now to support a season that will also support maintaining a healthy flock. Are they a flock? I don't know. Rafter of sandhill cranes in Wisconsin. How is that all going? What's the update on that? And I want to talk about some of the nuances that too.
You know what? I'm really going to let you talk about where we're at with it as far as the legislator is concerned, because that's what we're paying you for.
Yes, boss.
But what I want to do is I want to give
This is fun.
Yeah, exactly. I really want to give you nine reasons why we feel nine reasons. Not one, not two, but there's nine reasons to have a sandhill crane hunt here in the state of Wisconsin. One, U.S. Fish and Wildlife's management plan embraces it. Two, crane population justifies it. Three, hunters support it. Four, ecotourism is compatible with it. Five, farmers will benefit from it. Six, the experimental whooping crane population does not preclude it. Seven, Wisconsin DNR can manage it. Eight, recent IFC opinion polls show that, well, they don't reject it, I should say. And nine, the Constitution expects it. Okay, so those are nine really good reasons. I'll give you my favorite reason, though, out of all nine. It's not even one of the nine, actually. It's common sense. It's a common sense way to control a population that's doing significant damage to crops here in the state of Wisconsin.
Yeah, I think that now, and just to let folks know, when he says the Constitution demands it, in Wisconsin, by nearly 70% margin, the folks and voters of the state of Wisconsin approved a constitutional amendment, which went through two legislatures and then a vote of the people to say we have a constitutional right to hunt and fish in Wisconsin. Now, I never take a bully pulpit view when it comes to hunting. I think it is still one of the greatest privileges in this country to be able to get out there and hunt for the food you put on your table.
Agreed.
What makes me the most sick, which I think should make everyone sick, is that right now approximately 2,000 sandhill cranes are being killed on depredation tags by farmers on federal depredation tags. Federal law prohibits utilization of the carcass.
What?
That means right now, 2,000 cranes are being killed and they must not be touched after they're killed.
That's the reason right there. Yeah.
So
if for all those animal
you
lovers.
Oppose, why on earth, if you are a crane lover or the Crane Society or anybody who is a bird watcher or bird supporter or supports healthy populations of these, why on earth would you ever support 2,000 cranes being killed and the meat not being used or mm-hmm. the feathers not being used when we can allow that depredation assistance to happen by hunters who are going to use the protein source to feed their families, friends, or those in need. That, my friends, is a travesty in the state of Wisconsin, that these beautiful animals are being killed and left to rot in a field. If we are allowed to have a sandhill crane hunting season, that alleviation of those issues for farmers can be done in part by hunters who will at very least eat the meat. In fact, in Wisconsin, they are commanded by law to use the meat. I know. I'm getting excited, Jacob. I'm sorry, but I can tell Jacob's turning my volumes down in there. He's hitting the knobs in a frenzy. But I don't think there's many more reasons to get excited about or frustrated about the current state of this. 2,000 cranes are being killed right now and being left to rot.
Yeah, imagine all that food that could go to a food bank.
Food bank, food pantry, healthy family eating, field to table, organic eating. Mm-hmm. It's absolutely crazy. And I will say many of the legislators understand that point. And I'm very excited about the fact that Senator Rob Stafshult, Senator Mary Felskowski have been volunteering to work on this issue. This is not an issue that should have a partisan bent or should have an issue across party lines. This is a nonpartisan issue. This is an issue about maintaining healthy populations and Wisconsin's constitutional right to hunt.
And our ecosystems, too.
Yeah, absolutely. This is certainly the way to go as far as this hunt is concerned. You couldn't have said it better by these cranes are getting wasted in the field. We can monetize that. And when I say monetize that, right now they're looking at solutions of spraying seed and spending millions and millions of tax dollars on this seed to keep the cranes from eating it. Well, why not make this a hunt here in the state of Wisconsin where we can help fund the DNR
with
those licenses being sold?
And if we spray the seed, that's just going to push them somewhere else to destroy the land somewhere else.
Well, I've actually, anecdotally, I've heard from directly from farmers when they spray the seed with Avapel is what it's called, which makes the seed taste sour or bitter to the bird. They basically pick the seed out and then spit it out. So then they move to the next seed, pick it up and spit it out. So it's still not growing. The seed is not growing. And the damage that a sandhill crane does is, takes the seed and eats the seed. Well, that's different than an animal eating part of a plant that's already grown. Yeah. There, no plant will grow if the seed is eaten. Mm-hmm. Again, though, I want to talk, for a second about the delicate nature of this. We cannot have a pompous attitude toward the fact that there are many people who care deeply about the population of birds and the beauty of the sandhill crane and its history and magic. And I want, too often hunters are accused of not caring about that. I'm telling you, I care about that because we wouldn't be supporting a hunt if there wasn't a sustainable population that's actually going to be improved with a hunt. Mm-hmm. Because as society grows and moves into the habitats of wild birds and wild animals, we have to make sure that the population of those animals is such that they're not starving or contracting diseases. And the sandhill crane population is a population in Wisconsin that is so healthy, the federal government gives depredation tags to farmers, and then those cranes have to rot in a field. And I think this is really the answer.
Joel, I forget the number, but isn't it like 11 out of the 15 states where you could have a successful crane hunt? They're already doing it there. I forget the number, but we're one of the last ones in the path to have a successful crane hunt that could have it, and we're not. But yeah. Everywhere else that's doing it, it's very successful. There's still a healthy population, and it's all going well.
There is. And the crane population just continues to grow. And roughly correct me if I'm wrong, Joel, there's 17 states where you're able to have a controlled, responsible crane hunt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's something like that, right?
Well, what's the opposite side? Why are they saying we cannot have it? Is it because of the history?
One of the claims of the risks is that people will misidentify sandhill cranes and shoot a whooping cranes, which are very much less fervid in population. And that is very valid, which is why the legislation that's being moved forward right now requires a test or an education about what a sandhill crane and whooping crane, how different they look, how to identify them. But I will say this, in the states that have sandhill crane hunts, the incidence of whooping crane, killing of a whooping crane instead of a sandhill crane is virtually nil. So in fact, how I don't are they know proving if it's that? Ever how happened?
They, it's something they're worried about. They have nothing to prove it.
It and I don't want to say us and them. They, you know, those who oppose it are entitled to have their beliefs. And what we need to make sure is that we find a common ground that is not only best for the Sandhill Crane population, but best for farmers and best for the hunters who have that right in Wisconsin. This is Raised in Wisco. Food's up next.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
Workdays can be unpredictable, but your workwear shouldn't be. With a Cintas Apparel Plus program, you'll have freshly laundered garments for everyone on your team delivered every week. Cintas has workwear for just about any job imaginable, with high-performance fabrics and an uncompromising fit that stretches and moves with you. Don't leave looking and feeling good to chance. Visit Cintas.com.
Oh, I'm ready!
And get ready for the workday.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. September 16th, Maine and Oregon were the first to be sued by the Trump Department of Justice for refusing to provide voter data to be shared within federal agencies. Six more states have been sued, and it could be a good thing. September 25th, DOJ rolled out complaints for Pennsylvania, Michigan, California, Minnesota, New Hampshire, and New York. In August, Pennsylvania Secretary of State Al Schmidt, a Republican, told DOJ, "Your letter dated August 14 specifically asked for detailed personal and confidential information, including driver's license numbers and Social Security numbers, for all Pennsylvania voters. This request and reported efforts to collect broad data on millions of Americans represent a concerning attempt to expand the federal government's role in our country's electoral process," unquote. States have loudly reminded DOJ that the states and Congress are empowered by the U.S. Constitution for election oversight, not the federal government, and that the requests violate both state and federal privacy statutes. Writing in Election Law Blog, professor of law at LMU Loyola Law School, Justin Levitt, writes that the DOJ legal action could turn out to be a good thing. He said, "Now there will be federal judges carefully examining the claims that DOJ has made about its authority under specific statutes and truly putting them to the test." We've linked to more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Are you Sally Flores, organizing director for the Wisconsin Fair Maps Coalition?
So you're okay with undermining the will of the voter? Great. Just do you see how terrible that sounds? And when I translate gerrymandering to Spanish, it just means manipulating election results. That's exactly what gerrymandering is. But in Spanish, the wow effect, oh my God, even in the U.S., manipulates election results. And I was like, yes. And they have a fancy word for it. They've covered it up with almost unimaginable words.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
State Senator Jeff Smith. We're talking about the Veteran Housing and Recovery Program. Republicans blocked funding for this.
They instead sent the governor a 16-page letter blaming him for this problem. Well, it was in his budget. Once the budget is out of his office and in their hands, it's up to them. Our job is to manage the funding. We can do it, but the governor can't. So it's avoiding our own responsibility by not addressing that.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
If you didn't know, I play the banjo on that track. I'm just saying.
Skill. It's all skill.
Play it now.
I don't have a banjo.
We're bringing a banjo next week.
A true banjo player always travels with their banjo.
Hey, this is Raised in Wisconsin. I'm Banjo Clayfish, the host of the show, alongside Danielle Fairman, the co-host, and our chefery, the star of the fourth segment of this show. We go out in style because, after all, Raised in Wisco is a
cooking show.
And we got lots to talk about in this segment, so we better get
I'm
right down to it.
I'm not the star of this segment.
Why not? You're the chef.
You all are.
You're making us the stars of this segment.
Yeah, I'm taking the
Let's
night
do
off.
It. Bring it on. What do you got?
So we started by talking about football. we are going to talk today about all of our favorite game day recipes.
Wild nice. Game day.
Well, mine's going to be wild. Yeah. I'm assuming yours is going to be wild,
Life
too.
Life is just wild. So, yes.
That's yeah. all I eat is wild game for meat. So
Joel, why don't you agreed. Start?
Oh, well, you're putting me on the spot there. Okay. My favorite game day, wild game day dish. I love to take any protein out of the freezer, or I've done it fresh. Wild turkey, goose, duck, venison, you name it. Wild boar, dice it up into 1-inch pieces. Get yourself some skewers and put a pot of boiling oil in front of you and make fondue. I love that. I think fondue. It's so fun for
it's fondue.
It's fondue.
I have never participated.
Okay, oh, so you it's so easy. I'm telling you, it's so easy. All you got to do is have one of those little camp stoves. Coleman camp stove.
Like a burner.
They're,
camp burner.
They're $14 at Sherper's in Oconomowoc mm-hmm. or any outdoor store. You set one up. You can run them in your home. You set it in the middle of the table. You put a pot on it and put oil, cooking oil in it. And everybody's got forks or skewers around and you stab the meat and you stick it in the fryer and you fry that good. Meat because for me, it's always about the sauces. And you can have melted cheese. You can have right wing buffalo sauce.
Oh, I
you
just
can
had have, some of that last night.
Yeah, that's you can have, so good.
It is good, isn't it? I'm telling you. You can have ranch dressing. You can make Gruyere. And you have a little fondue party for your game. Nice. I love that. I love doing that.
Brad, what are you
Brad,
doing?
Brad, what do you got?
Sounds so manly.
Well, mine would be cream cheese duck wontons.
Oh, yum.
One of
classic.
My favorites.
Yep.
Yeah,
it's a good one.
I've never had that either.
Marinate them a bit in a little teriyaki, then just kind of grind it up, mix it in there with some cream cheese, and put it in a wonton and deep fry it.
Oh,
I like it.
What sauce do you serve with it?
Pardon me?
What sauce did you say?
I just do a little teriyaki. Keep it simple.
Yeah. Love that.
Yeah, that sounds fantastic. Danielle, do you have a game day specialty you like?
Well, like I always say, kebabs are my favorite.
Ooh.
But kebab appetizers, just make a ground up meatball of whatever game you choose and just put...
A mystery meatball.
Mystery meatball.
I love
mystery.
I like make those often. As well.
A little mystery balls. Never hurt anybody.
This is a family show, Danielle.
Goodness. Your cheese. Oh, it's the same thing I made at... The Waterfall Expo for my thing. That was a huge hit. But yeah, just it's like a hamburger skewer.
Do you have an uncle named Bob?
No.
I have an uncle named Bob, and I would love to have him there when I had your recipe, because then I could say kebab Bob.
Kebab Bob.
They don't all stick.
They don't all stick. You got to throw them against the wall.
They don't all
Chef
stick.
Lawton, what are you making for Wild Game Day?
One of my favorites is Canada Goose sliders.
Oh, that sounds fantastic.
So very easy. And you can do shredded beef, shredded pork, any sort of shredded meat you have. I buy the packs of Hawaiian rolls, like the little ones.
Yum.
Or you can make your own. I like to make my own little slider buns. But if you're doing the Hawaiian, just keep them all together on the paper tray they come on, cut it in half, load it up with your warm shredded meat, do some Wisconsin Swiss or provolone, some pepperoncinis, banana peppers, and then the broth that you cook the meat in, save it, and then put that in the oven. You can put some butter and everything bagel seasoning over the top. And then dip it, the little sandwiches, in your broth when it comes out of the oven.
Oh, boy.
It's so
like
good.
An au jus.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Like
yeah.
An for old a French juice. Dip right now.
I think it was the first 10 years of my life I thought au jus was old juice.
Old juice?
Yeah.
I mean, well, it kind of makes sense.
It kind of is old juice.
It will now forever be old juice.
I think that one of the most fun things about game day is that you can use any variety of meat in so many of your choices. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the recipes I want to just reiterate, don't be afraid of, if you have a hunk of meat of any, really any kind, throw it in a crock pot in Wisconsin, mm-hmm. fill it to the top with water, mm-hmm. add a couple packets of dry Italian dressing seasoning, add a quarter to a half cup of lemon juice and a cup of oil to it. Let it go on high. Let it go on high for 5 to 8 hours until that meat shreds. Yeah. Shred that meat, put it back in the stock, and stir the snot out of it. It will absorb back into the meat. Once you have that shredded meat that's delicious and juicy, and it's got that slippery texture because you're adding the oil to it, you can really, the sky's the limit at that point with appetizers. I mean, you can throw that on pizza, add some oregano, make it a lasagna.
That is my favorite shredded meat recipe. Honestly, any protein is fantastic with it. And you can swap out the water with a stock or broth, throw in some veggies, let it cook in the crock pot, like Joel said, and you'll have soup.
Oh my gosh.
So easy.
That sounds great. Yeah. And you can make a roux with equal parts butter and flour. You heat those up in a pan, and then you add that stock or juice that's left from your cooking that. Pour that in there and let it bubble, and you'll have one of the most awesome wild game gravies as well.
I mean, I don't know if I've come back next week.
What?
Chef Joel over there has it under control.
Oh, trust
me. Look at him
over
there. Roux and crock pot and all this other stuff. Butter. You're like super fancy.
Oh, yeah. Aren't I fancy? The French chef says I'm fancy with roux and crock pot.
Yes,
you are.
That's how to make me
happy. Hey, there's no crock about it.
Oh, a dad joke. That's about the extent of my French as well, roux. R-O-U-X.
Yeah.
So you do even know how to spell it. We love having you listen to Raised in Wisco. It is a show about the great outdoors of Wisconsin, how to take what you field and forage to the dinner table, and everything from kayaking, fishing, hunting, camping. Want to thank Brad Heidel, new executive director of the Wisconsin Waterfowl Association, executive chef of the show, Ellie Lawton, my co-host Danielle Fairman. I'm Joel Clayfish. We'll see you next week on Raised in Wisco.